This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Hi, I'm Tanahashi, and you are listening to the New Japan Procast.
All right, everyone. Welcome to this week's edition of the New Japan Purocast, your weekly audio source for all things in the world of New Japan Pro Wrestling. My name is Colin Miller, being joined alongside by the incomparable Mr. Damon McDonald. It is Sunday, July 17th, and you know what that means? We are on the eve of night one of the G1 Climax 26, which is going to be taking place live tonight, 2 a.m. Eastern Time. It is going to be taking place from Sapporo, and we've got English commentary from our good friend Mr. Kevin Kelly and King Carino. And Damon, are you ready for an insane week of Puroresu?
I am ready as I'll ever be. Now, not to start off the show on a correcting note, but I do have news when it comes to English commentary. Let's start there first, shall we, Colin Miller?
We shall.
So no Kevin Kelly on the opening night.
Really?
So, yeah, he was at Ring of Honor last night.
Oh, well, yeah. Obviously he's not going to be in Japan then.
Yeah, I know that we had heard that he was going to be. He was going to open up the G1, and then he was going to – they were going to come back and do like the last three nights at Sumo. But no, he was in Philadelphia last night doing his Ring of Honor duties. So I don't expect to see him getting on the Concord. Is the Concord still a thing? Concord's not still a thing, is it?
I believe that is defunct.
Defunct. Remember that Live Aid?
Yeah, of
Phil
course.
Collins,
of course.
Doing the old Wembley JFK. I was there. I was at JFK.
Yeah, I remember you telling me that. You were there for like Duran Duran.
That's right, dude. I slept through Led Zeppelin reunion, right? I was like in high school.
That is just unthinkable.
Oh, it was so great. But... and I was there to see Duran Duran and Power Station and the fucking Thompson Twins. And who else was in Philly? I wanted to see Adam Ant really bad, but he was in Wembley. And
was Van Halen there?
No, no Van Halen.
I'm thinking Farm Aid.
I've been on a big fucking Van Halen kick in the past couple of weeks.
Yeah, I saw your Facebook status.
Yeah,
that surprised me, to be quite honest, because Van Halen is like one of my top five favorite bands of all time.
See, Van Halen's one of those things where it's like I either love them or the songs are like shit. Like, I think like Unchained is fucking great. So This Is Love. Everybody Wants Some, like those kind of songs are just great. Maybe the greatest line ever in all of recorded music is Dave when he's that little break in Everybody Wants Some, you know, where they break it down. It's like, and it's just the drums. And Dave's like, I like the way the stockings run up and down, you know.
Yeah.
And then he goes, no, don't take them off. Don't take them off. Leave them on. I fucking love that line. Every time I hear that, I crack up. No, don't take them off. Leave them on. Leave them on. I like the way those high heel shoes. Yeah, fucking Van Halen's great. Just reminds me of good times. But anyway, yeah, I saw Duran Duran. And yeah, so right before Duran Duran went on, it was the Led Zeppelin reunion, and everyone was freaking out over it. It was like the first time they got together in, I don't ever get millions of years, who knows. But I was asleep because I was up all night, and it was so fucking hot that day, Colin. It was Japan G1 hot. And
it's pretty hot.
It was fucking hot. And I was like dehydrated and out, and I fell asleep on this bench at JFK Stadium. Just had these bench seating, and my sister woke me up for Duran Duran. And I wake up and I just remember a guy behind me like, Jesus Christ, he falls asleep for Led Zeppelin and he wakes up for this shit.
I would have been pissed, I'll be honest.
And I was like, Simon, fucking John Taylor. Well, you would have been pissed. What would you have been pissed for? I was fucking in grade school.
Yeah, but you slept through a Damon, do you realize how many people would sell their kidneys to see Led Zeppelin right now.
Listen, I'd sell my kidney for Simon Le Bon. Fuck Led Zeppelin. Give me Hunger Like the Wolf any day. Give me that synth, that is anybody hungry? And Simon and the fucking magic. Oh,
hey, to each his own. But so there is going to be English commentary still.
Yes, yes, yes. Kevin Kelly will be again the last three nights. But yeah, just no first night. But that's okay. No big deal there.
So what is it? Just going to be King Carino?
No. There's no English the first show, from what I understand.
Oh, no English at all the first show. Okay, I got you.
Yeah, I got you. No English the first show.
They will be there for the final three nights taking place from Sumo Hall. So we have that to look forward to.
We do. That we do. All right.
All right, so let's outline our week here. So, like I said, night one is tomorrow or tonight, you know. And chances are, if you're listening to this on a Monday afternoon, which is when Voices of Wrestling usually puts it up, you've probably already watched night one. We've got a break on Tuesday. Wednesday is night one of the Super J Cup. We've got a break on Thursday. Then the 23rd, 24th, and 25th. We have got three shows in a row.
That's going to be, like I said, I'm warning everyone. This is, if you're trying to watch this shit live as it happens, and you really want to try to, because to try and stay away from spoilers and stuff like that, it's going to be, it's going to make the watching a little bit more entertaining to stay away from the spoilers. But yeah, it's going to be a little rough for some people. Now, again, we have listeners all over this vast world of ours. So your time zone and your experience may vary, but for many of us here in the United States, it will be tough. That's for sure.
So I think for a lot of our newer listeners, this very well could be the very first G1 Climax tournament that they will take part in watching. And I remember last year was the first tournament that I watched, and man, it is just the funnest time to be a pro wrestling fan, in my opinion. And one of the things that makes this tournament so fun is our good friends at voicesofwrestling.com, which we are a part of course. They do this annual Pick'em tournament where, if you score high, you can win some cool Puro merch. And I thought what we'd do today is we would take a look at our predictions.
Oh boy, yes. Yeah, oh, this should be fun.
Yeah.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
So I've got the Excel file in front of me right now. And, you know, if you haven't gotten in on this and you're listening to this on a Sunday night and the event hasn't started yet, you still have some time to go on to voicesofwrestling.com. We've got links up on our Facebook and our Twitter to this Pick'em tournament. But I remember last year when I did this thing, you know. And first of all, I'm the kind of person that overthinks everything. I mean everything in my life.
And, you got that right.
And this is no different. I was doing mine yesterday. And I want to say I sat there for between an hour and 2 hours, you know, kind of mulling over my choices. And why don't we start off with July 18th here, night one, and I'll give my picks and you can give your picks.
Yeah, that sounds good. Now, again, many of our listeners listening to this on a Monday, you will already know the results, or you may have already watched. So this might provide more hilarious moments than you care to count. But yes, let's give our predictions for the 18th. And again, let's go through the whole fucking tournament. Why not? And you can follow along if you haven't already signed up at voicesofwrestling.com for the Pick'em. This is like the third year or fourth year that they're doing this. It's quite an endeavor. Everything they do is quite an endeavor. Like, I feel really lazy around, you know, like when I hear of all the great things that they do on their site. Like, I'm like, maybe we should get some motivation and do this, something like that. But then it takes work, and we don't want to do that. All right, so let's do the 18th. Why don't we?
All right, so here we go. The 18th first match of the tournament is going to be Togi Makabe versus Tama Tonga. I've got Tonga for that one.
See, now, I don't think – I think a lot of the guys, minus, say, Kenny Omega, when it's their first tournament, I don't see them doing that well. I see at best 500. Out of the gate, first G1 match against a guy who's, again, let's be truthful, Togi Makabe is established in New Japan. This is his, you know, however many G1 it is with Togi. I don't see Tama Tonga getting a win here. I think this is a slam dunk Makabe.
Well, I kind of decided to go out on a limb and be a little bit adventurous, and wouldn't it be something if Tama Tonga gets his first big G1 win? You know, this is his first tournament. Wouldn't it be something if he got his first win over an established veteran like Togi Makabe?
Now there are times when that does happen, right? And as we go through this entire run of these matches, you're going to find that, you know, I kind of feel the same way. I don't think it's here, though. I think this is, again, G1 really isn't a star-making platform. But I will say this. They do like to establish kind of like, I don't want to say upsettiness in the early round, right? They do like to do that. Upsets early and kind of keep things competitive. So the people that you think are going to, or, you know, that maybe people have to win this, lose early and then come back strong. So I do see your train of thought there, but I don't think it fits here. I think this is a Makabe win. I have him as 2 points, Mr. Makabe.
The second match is Hiroki Goto versus Bad Luck Fale. I've got my money on Goto for this one.
See, we're fucking opposite. This is good. This is good because I went Fale. I don't think Goto's going to have this magical tournament either. I think he's one of those guys that at the end of the day, let me just see what I got at the end of the day for Goto. I won't give you the exact tally, but I will say this for Goto. He's in the upper middle for me. He's in the upper middle for me in block A. No, I have this as a Bad Luck Fale win, as a matter of fact, Colin Miller. So we're not seeing things eye to eye night one.
I'll tell you exactly the number that I have for Goto at the end of this tournament. I have him with 10 points.
Okay, then we are on the same page because I do have 10 points for Goto as well.
Okay,
At the end of the day, I have Goto with 10 points. So yeah, like upper middle, but no, I have this as a loss, and I think that's where I'm kind of getting the guys that you think are going to win might not win in the beginning kind of mentality. That's what I was kind of going with this, and that's why I went Fale here. Fale's going to get some wins, and I think this is one of them out of the gate. He gets 2 points here.
The next match, we've got Hiroyoshi Tenzan versus Tomohiro Ishii, or Ralph, as we like to affectionately refer to him as here on the PuroCast. Now, I was giving this one some thoughts.
Go ahead.
And I decided to go with Tenzan because this is going to be his final G1 tournament. You know, Kojima gave up his spot to give it to his buddy Tenzan. And I think that it would be really special if he got a big win right out of the gate. So that's why I'm picking Tenzan here.
Yeah. And again, I think we talked about this last week where, you know, I felt like Tenzan out of the gate is going to be stronger. Again, with the mentality of, you know, let's get people who people might not think are going to fare well in this tournament, get them some early wins to get some juice forwarded for them, because we know at the end of the day, the people that are going to be up on top. I saw a lot of people online giving a lot of love to Tenzan. I don't have that much love when it comes to 2 point totals for Tenzan. It's not massive, but I do have him out of the blocks getting a win over Ishii, and it kind of follows suit with what we said last week, or what I was saying last week about how he starts hot out of the gate. Here's a win right out of the gate. Tenzan gets 2 points.
Now, maybe I went a little overboard here, but I have Tenzan.
So do you want to spoil it? How many points do you have Tenzan?
I have Tenzan at 10 points in this tournament.
No. Do you really?
I do.
Okay, let me see what I have here.
This is going to be a disaster for me. I know it, but it's fun.
I have Tenzan at 6. Wow, I intend on getting 3 wins.
Okay,
I will say one of those wins is super fucking important as we move down the tournament.
I think I know where you're headed.
Yeah, it's a very important win. I thought this out. I thought I did a pretty good job thinking this out. So yeah, I have Tenzon at 6, 3 wins. Too early. I'll let the cat out of the bag there. Too early. All right.
The next match, Kazuchika Okada versus Naomichi Marufuji. Look, I don't think that there's any way that the one half of the GHC tag champs is going to beat the IWGP heavyweight champion. So I've got Okada here.
Well, I have. Here's the thing. I actually went back and forth on this a couple of times. A win does set up a nice program if, you know, every time Okada loses, you know that person's going to be challenging. Every time Elgin loses, you know that person's going to be challenging for a title shot later down the road. Every time Shibata loses, you're going to see a challenge there as well.
Right.
So it's important to kind of understand maybe or kind of get a feel of, okay, who might possibly be next challengers down the road after this tournament is done.
And is Marufuji going to be a challenger down the road? I don't think so.
Could be. I don't see why he wouldn't be. But I can see why he wouldn't be, but I can't, like, I'm not shitting on the idea of it. I did go Okada here, though, to be clear. And I don't think Marufuji gets the win here, but I did go back and forth with it. And I think, though, the reason I changed it was because of the numbers matching up for Okada. Something didn't fit, so I had to take away one, and I was always on the fence with this one match. So I gave it the win back to Okada, but I think originally I had Marufuji winning this match. But I went back and forth in my mind, and I stuck with Okada. So right now I have Makabe, Fale, Tenzon, Okada.
All right, and the main event for night one, Hiroshi Tanahashi versus Seiya Sanada. I'm going with Tanahashi on this one simply because we have not seen him in the ring in a long time. This is going to be his return to action after his arm injury. And I don't know, I see them wanting to leave the audience, you know, on a high note, on a happy note here with night one of the G1 Climax. So that's why I'm going Tanahashi.
Okay. I went the opposite. I actually went Sanada. And here's why. For all the reasons that you just said, but flip it. It's his first match back. New Japan loves that logical booking of off an injury, little ring rust, not up to 100%. It's going to take a little bit of a while for him to get his gears in motion. So, that's why I went Sanada. Two, I think it's important that Sanada gets early wins because, again, there is a little bit of I don't want to say that there's like he hasn't performed up to par. I think that's a little bit harsh on my part. I just think they want to establish Sanada in this. It would be a great early win, an upset. It would be something noteworthy and noisy on night one. No, I went Sanada here and. I think what you'll see with Tanahashi at the end of the day, and again, just my humble opinion, is, you know, him struggling early, picking up big wins as we go along in the tournament to kind of to cap it off. Sanada with 2 points. So that leaves, after night one, for me, it would be Fale 2 points, Makabe 2 points, Okada 2 points, Sanada 2 points, Tenzon 2 points.
See, I thought back to last year, the opening night of the G1 Climax 25, Tanahashi's match with Ibushi, and I distinctly remember picking Ibushi to win that match just because I thought, wow, wouldn't it be something if, you know, Ibushi pulled a big win on night one over Hiroshi Tanahashi? And, of course, that didn't happen, and I just don't see Tanahashi losing on night one.
Right. And again, I think sometimes we are all guilty of overthinking. And here's another example of me doing that. Hindsight is 20/20, but Ibushi's situation was a little bit different than Sanada's, right? Sanada's is full-time New Japan, whereas I think at the time, correct me if I'm wrong, Ibushi was kind of in that tweener bit. Like he was DDT, he was New Japan, he was kind of in between. They didn't want to put eggs in baskets. Again, everybody went into this thinking Ibushi was going to have this killer tournament. That didn't come to pass. But I think Sonata's in a little bit of a different position. I think they need to establish people to get big wins early. And again, I do say all the time that G1 isn't a platform at the end of the day to create a new star by having someone odd win the G1. But I think within the tournament, you can have important wins to help elevate talent. And I think this is going to be one of them.
All right, so that is night one from Sapporo. So, like I said, we're going to have a break on Tuesday. Wednesday is night one of the Super J Cup. And then...
Did you pick a winner in that?
The Super J Cup? I think yeah. I went with Kushida.
Oh, that's right. You did go to Kushida. I did Bushi. I'm kind of regretting that pick, but I'm going to stick with it. Yeah, that should be fun. I'm looking forward to it. Again, we talked about that last week. How... It's gonna be interesting. I like the fact that it's in the middle of this G1. It just plopped in the middle there. It's
crazy.
Great. It is great. But we talked about that last week. So if you want our thoughts on that, last week is the show that you want to tune in on. Yeah, but I'm going Bushi. You're going Kushida. Okay. Good.
Yeah. So like I said, break on Tuesday, J Cup Wednesday. Another break on Thursday, and then the tournament resumes on Friday, the 22nd, live from Corican Hall. And for what it's worth, that is going to be a 5:30 a.m. here on the East Coast in the States. And let us take a look at the tournament matches for that one, and I'll tell you what we picked. First match, Hiroyoshi Tenzan versus Tama Tonga. I am jumping ahead of night.
You scared me because I was like, wait a minute, where is this on my sheet?
I'm getting ahead of myself.
All right. You're excited.
So Friday, July 22nd from Corken Hall, we've got Yoshihashi versus Kenny Omega. I don't think there's any way Yoshihashi is going to pull out a win over Omega here. You know, one of the big four in my estimation. I just don't see that happening.
Big spot, Corken Hall. Yoshihashi's getting some juice, some fire behind him. So he's picking up wins in tag matches. You don't think you're a nice little upset here? Nice way to kick off Corken Hall. You don't think that's in the cards?
Well, juice will be at ringside in a tracksuit, probably.
Very true.
No, I just don't see Yoshihashi picking up the win here against Omega. I just don't see it.
I don't either. I have Kenny Omega with 2 points. Corken is a building where you could do that and have it be memorable, kind of like what Honma did against Ishii. Man, two guys that I can't fucking pronounce. That's pretty good. Last year,
Honma and Ishii, Damon.
Thank you. But I don't think it's here. I don't think it happens here. So yeah, I went Omega here as well. Omega picking up 2 points.
All righty, next match, Toru Yano versus Nakajima. We all know that Yano is kind of like a spoiler guy in these tournaments. I do have him getting a few big wins here, but I don't think he's going to pull off the upset against Nakajima. So I'm going Nakajima, 2 points for him.
I say this. You're gonna have some new people watching Nakajima for the first time. And again, if you're not a Noah follower, if you're not an avid Noah watcher, he might fall under your radar. Don't let him. He is solid with a capital S. This might not be the match where he showcases this, but I think you're gonna see a lot of people chattering about Nakajima at the end of this tournament. I have him with 2 points here. Picking up a win over Yano. I don't think there'll be an upset here. Even if people think it might be an upset if Yano won. But no, I think Nakajima wins. Let me ask you this. What do you have Yano at?
I have Yano. Let me take a look here. So Yano is in block B. I have him with 8 points at the end of the day.
Ah, two more than me. I have him at six.
Okay.
6 points total for the tournament. So the wins come sparingly, but they are done at opportune times, we'll say. So, but not here. Not yet. Yano loses on the 22nd. All right, what's next?
All right, the third match of the evening is Michael Elgin versus Evil. Now, you alluded earlier to the fact that the champions in this tournament, of course, the IWGP Heavyweight Champion, the IC Champion, and the never Openweight Champion, the opponents who defeat them in this tournament will most likely, you know, be challenging for that title down the road. Now, Evil also has a match with Shibata later on in the tournament, and I gave Evil the win there because I see him as more of a never open weight challenger than I do an IC challenger at this point. So that's why I'm going Big Mike here.
Yeah, I went Big Mike as well. I'm kind of curious to see percentages. I know the Voices of Wrestling team, if I'm not mistaken, they'll release percentages of who voted which way, right? And I'm kind of curious to see how heavily favored Elgin is going into this as opposed to Evil. I thought for a brief moment maybe this would be a nice spot to do something with Evil to get a big win, but again, we don't want to overthink this. I think that it's important to kind of keep that in check, but I went Elgin with a win as well. I don't think Evil gets a win over here, and I think we're on the same page with I see Evil more never than Intercontinental. And again, you want to protect those champions, those pinfalls that your champions take in this tournament. They got to mean something. Can I see an Elgin Evil matchup down the road? Yeah, absolutely. I think that would be fucking solid. But I think Elgin gets the 2 points here.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how much are you looking forward to this match, Elgin versus Evil? Because this is kind of, you know, right up my alley. You know, two big bulls just kind of duking it out. So like, I'm standing at an 8, as Triple H would say.
the idea of this match at Corkin Hall is going to be fun. I know Elgin is geared up for this fucking tournament. Last year, I mean, you think about how far Michael Elgin has come. This time last year, everybody was kind of second guessing Michael Elgin being in this G1, and look at the year that motherfucker has had.
I'm proud to say I was not one of those people.
I'm going to be truthful, I'll sit here and I'll tell you flat out that I was probably on the fence of he should be in and he shouldn't be in, and I'll tell you why. There was a match between him and Kushida at the Ring of Honor shows right after Dontaku and before the G1. And you kind of thought that a lot of these matches were going to be, I don't know if they were tests. In hindsight, it seemed pretty silly because I'm sure that they already had in their mind who they wanted in the G1, and I'm sure it wasn't an audition. But I don't know. I can't say I wasn't, like, thrilled with the match. I was like, it was good, it was fine, but I don't know. I remember even talking to Eric about it, Eric from the Classic Japanese Board, who was at the show with me there. You know, we were kind of like, okay, it was a good match, you know, fine. And I don't know. I think we were kind of thinking more Roddy Strong or something along those lines for the G1. But look, any doubt that anybody had about Michael Elgin in G1, yeah, that quickly went fucking in the trash can, in the rubbish, in the bin, if you will. And now look at him. You know, now he's, you know, I would think it was safe to say that he's going to win more than he loses. Is he going to win the tournament? I don't know. Stay tuned, folks. Maybe he will, maybe he won't. But you know, the fact that he's even remotely in the conversation, whereas before no one even gave him credit for being in. I can't say no one, you did. A lot of people, you know, were kind of hesitant on the idea of him being in G1. Again, what a fucking year Michael Elgin had. And to cap it all off, I gave him 2 points here at Corkin Hall on the 22nd against Evil.
Yep, same here. 2 points for Big Mike. And going back to last year, you know what still kind of bugs me? It's a damn shame that we never got to see that Elgin-Nakamura match because, of course, Nakamura kind of banged up his elbow in the midst of the tournament and had to forfeit that one. And I still think about, man, what would that match have looked like?
Yeah. Yeah, that I forgot all about that. That is very true.
I think about it every night before bed, Damon.
Well, I don't want you to harp on it. It's not good for your mental health, because it's not going to happen anytime soon. But yes, that is true. That what could have been, Colin. What could have been.
All right, the next match here is the never openweight champion, Katsuyori Shibata versus Tomoaki Honma. Now, Damon, before I give you my prediction for this match, I have a question for you. What is your tally for Mr. Honma at the end of the tournament?
I tell you what, I have him with more than 2 points.
Really?
Yeah, I know. Shocking. Let me see. What is this? Let's scroll. And I have him at 4 points.
Okay. I didn't go quite as crazy as you. I gave him...
Crazy? 4 points. I gave him 2 fucking wins.
I know, but we're talking about Honma here. You know, we're talking about the Charlie Brown of New Japan Pro Wrestling, if you will. Always, yes. You know, running to kick that football, and it just gets yanked away from him at the last second. So I gave him one...
That twat, Lucy.
I gave him one big win this tournament, much like last year. And if you remember, his big win last year against Ishii came towards the end of the tournament. So I thought that, you know, fantasy booking this thing, it might be kind of interesting to give him his one big win towards the beginning of the tournament, which is why I have Mr. Honma going over Shibata in this match.
Colin? I'll have you know, we are on the same page.
Wow.
Yeah. So of his 2 wins, I have Honma getting his win, getting a little revenge on Shibata, just like we had talked about earlier. Kind of convinced me on that one. And again, this might be a perfect example of me overthinking, but I did give it to him at Korakuen, kind of relive some of that magic, getting a win. And again, I think we'll see a never open weight title defense from Shibata against Honma down the road, and he gets 2 points. So of the 2 wins that I have him, this is one of them out of the gate. Yes, correct. And you know, I'll have you know, I was at that show, Colin, as you are well aware, and I'll never forget seeing him on the fucking train on the ride home.
I remember that picture you posted on our Twitter.
Unbelievable. Like, he just had the biggest win of his fucking career. And I'm, you know, looking at my tweeter at the time, and, you know, everybody was blowing up over the match and how great the match was and the big win and the energy in that building. Oh my God, I'll never fucking forget Corgan Hall. And how everybody just wanted that win so bad, and he got it, and the place fucking blew up. It was like a powder keg. And then I kind of hung around Corgan, like that area. I think I got something to eat, actually. And then,
naturally.
Well, listen, I didn't have any, and he didn't have any supper, as you like to say. And then I get on the train because the train station's right there. It's Suidobashi Station. And I'm at the platform. I kind of turn my fucking head, and here he comes walking up. He had like a gym bag in his hand. And he walks right by me, and I didn't want to fucking say anything. I don't know. I just felt like a retard. And, then a young lady was standing next to him, and he was kind of chatting up with this girl. And I don't know if they were friends or they knew each other or what the situation was, but I didn't want to disturb his groove from there. But I did take a sneaky pic. I did take a little sneakeroo of him on the platform. And that was a very popular photo at the time, retweeted by hundreds. So yeah, that was good. That was fun. All right. So yes, I have him as a win, reliving some of that magic. Shibata takes the fall, Honma 2 points.
Yeah, and to me, you know, it just makes sense because after watching his match with Shibata at Kizuna Road earlier this month, you know, Mr. Honma has something to prove here because Shibata defeated him decisively and he just kind of booted him out of the ring like he was a piece of garbage. So Honma is not done with Shibata by any stretch of the imagination. And yeah, I see him getting his... you know, a big win of the tournament very early, and we are going to see this feud continue into the future. So there you go, both of us with 2 points for Honma early in the tournament. And the main event for this July 22nd show at Korakuen Hall. We've got the legendary Yuji Nagata taking on Tetsuya Naito. Look, I'm very happy that Nagata is in this tournament. He's one of the elder wrestlers in New Japan that can still deliver. We saw that last year in the tournament with his match against Okada. He's not going to beat Naito. Naito, I'm giving 2 points to Naito right here because, you know, I think that many of us have the G1 Climax 26 as the tournament of the ungovernable Tetsuya Naito.
Colin? Guess who I have one in this match.
Uh-oh. You're telling me you're giving this one to Nagata?
I have this as a Nagata win.
I can't wait for this night now. This is going to be so interesting.
I do. I have it as a win. I have Nagata pulling out the upset. You know, not even the upset. I think, I guess it's an upset in many people's eyes. But yes, I do have it at Korakuen Hall. Nagata getting the win over Naito. Naito starts off a little sluggish. Does not get that win at Korakuen. Now, again, listen, the tournament is long. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. But, yes, I really felt in my heart of hearts that Yuji Nagata is going to get big wins. You know, he's going to get wins over people. He's not going to just sit and die. And I think that's been his story for the past almost 2 years now. And Naito's, I think that would be a moment. I think Yuji Nagata, Korakuen Hall, over that brash, ungovernable Naito. 2 points. I went Yuji Nagata, dude. Yep. This is gonna be fun. See?
Now, here is my logic for picking Naito in this match. Now, depending on who you have winning the whole enchilada here, if they win, you know, traditionally they have to defend that briefcase down the road. And I'll just tell you straight out, not to, you know, jump to the conclusion of this, but I have Naito winning this whole tournament. And do I see him defending the G1 Climax 26 briefcase against Yuji Nagata? No, I just don't see them doing that. I'm sorry. So
sure, I definitely could see that. Why couldn't you see that? Because that's an easy, I don't want to say an easy win, but that's a safe win for Naito. If, in fact, I have Naito winning this tournament, if there's going to be a defense of that case, Yuji Nagata is a guy that can take that fall, right? That's a safe match to have to fill time before the dome if you need to have him defend that case.
Now you're making me, you know, reconsider here. See? But it's too late. I submitted it.
It's all right. We'll watch you crash and burn. Listen, I'm going out on a little bit of a limb here. I feel like I'm going out a little bit of a limb with some of this. But that's my logic. But as it's weird how, like, your logic and my logic are exactly the same yet opposite.
Yeah, right? It's strange.
Because you're saying there's no fucking way they're going to have that match. And I'm saying, yeah, they're going to have that match. I think that's a safe match to have. And that's part of the reason why I kind of see Naito falling early to a guy who could easily take that fall if, in fact, he's defending that briefcase. I'm not saying Naito is my winner. But what I'm saying is that would make sense, wouldn't it?
I suppose it would make sense.
Yes. All right. But here's the thing, though. Now we have opposites. How fucking boring would it be if we sat here and said, oh, yeah, we're exactly the same. Okay. 15 minutes into the show. Good night, everyone. You know, it's fucking. And I'm not doing it just to be opposite Colin Miller. These are my picks.
I'm doing it to be opposite Damon McDonald. I don't want to be anything like you, Damon.
I can't blame you. But, you know, if it's success and riches and, you know, the lifestyle I lead is not for everyone, Colin.
The fans, the girls, right? The money, the fame.
I mean, listen, not everyone can lead this chaotic lifestyle that I lead. So I can understand that. Not everyone can wake up every morning and be as great as myself. But with that said, I think, speaking of great, a great night for Yuji Nagata. Korakuen Hall, 2 points, early win. Book it, Dano.
Could be huge.
Yeah. It'll be interesting. But again, my point being, I'm glad that we're on the opposite sides of the fence with many of this. This will be fun. And like I said, everybody, if you haven't filled out those brackets yet, you can get in on it. Damon McDonald, my name will be right there in the in digital format on the site. They'll keep track of it daily, so you'll know where you stand with the points. I can't wait to whip everyone's ass.
All righty. So moving on to Saturday, July 23rd. This show is going to take place in Tokyo at the Makita Municipal Gym. And this is going to be another 5:30 a.m. Eastern show here in the States. So that's doable, right?
For me, yes. I'm up at 5 o'clock, young man. I will be able to tune in. Absolutely. I don't know where that gym is, though.
You don't know where any gym is, let's be honest.
You're really hurtful with the comments.
Gaim. What's a gaim?
Very hurtful. All right, very good. Let's go over this show. This is now Block A, right?
Yes, this is Block A, and our first match of the tournament here for this night is going to be Hiroyoshi Tenzan versus Tama Tonga. Now, okay, my logic might be a little skewed here, but allow me to elaborate. I have Tenzan, since this is, people are going to be watching Tenzan in this tournament. It's his final G1. He's Mr. G1. I have him going on a bit of a roll at the start of this thing. So I'm giving him the win over Tama Tonga. And yes, I know that is two wins in a row for Mr. Tenzan.
Went the same route, Colin. I went the same route. Again, I kind of let the cat out of the bag when it came to Tenzan. And in Mexico, in Japan, he's Mr. G1. You know what he's called in Mexico?
No, I do not.
Senior G1.
Senior G1. All right, that makes sense.
Right. Just, I thought you would know that. So Tenzan, I do have as a win as well. 4 points, two wins out of the gate. Tama Tonga, though, I do have winless, no points as of yet, as of the 23rd, 0-2. So he'll need to recover quickly if he cares to make a splash. But yep, Tenzan with an early lead in Block A.
How many points do you give Tama Tonga at the end of the tournament? Just out of curiosity.
All right, let's see here. Mr. Tama Tonga. Not many. I'm going to let you guess. Take a guess.
I'm going to say that you gave him 4. I gave him 6.
I gave him 4. Yeah. As a matter of fact, in Block A, I have Tama Tonga with the lowest point total.
You know who I have with the lowest point total in Block A?
And can I guess?
Yeah, you can guess.
Is it Tenzan?
No, it's not Tenzan. I told you, Tenzan. I have him like, I gave him 10.
Wow.
This is gonna be a mistake. Who I gave the lowest? We were talking about him earlier.
Fale?
No.
Ishii?
No.
Goto? No, it wasn't Goto. No. You get 10.
Yeah.
Marufuji?
No.
Makabe?
Yeah, Makabe. I have him at 4 points. This is going to be a mistake of epic proportions. Looking at this now.
Yeah, every fucking Makabe win, you're going to slit your wrist.
I give Makabe a shit tournament this year.
Yeah, 4. How many do you give him?
4.
Yeah, he's getting more than 4. He's getting more than 4.
What the hell was I thinking?
I gave Makabe 10.
What? See, I gave Fale 10.
Nah, Fale 6.
Huh, okay. All right.
All right. Yeah, you're going to – I mean, again, comparing it to mine, yeah, you're going to feel that one. You're going to feel that one. Well, you have him losing out of the gate. The fucking Tama Tonga. I don't know why I'm saying Tama Tonga. I don't know why. But, yeah, you have him out of the gate losing, right?
Yeah, just because I wanted to give Tama Tonga a big win, and I thought that Makabe would be like a good, first G1 win for Tama Tonga.
Now I'm curious to see where he gets, where you have him get wins. He's going to get more wins than that. He's going to get more wins than that. And listen, I love the fact that you're already regretting it. You're like, ah, fuck.
Damon, I regretted it as soon as I hit the submit button. You see, here's what happens with me. I get so worked up and frustrated because I'm the most indecisive human being on the face of this earth. Okay. And, you know, I'm like 2 hours into, you know, scrutinizing over this Excel file. And at that point, I'm just like, all right, fuck it. I want to get on with my day. I'm just submitting it. I don't care. You know, here, it's done.
Right, right. Did you work your way backwards?
You know what? Last year, I worked my way backwards, and I started to do that this year at the beginning, but, okay, here's what I did. Actually, I had a unique method. You want to hear my method?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm actually dying to get... This is like getting inside the mind of Colin Miller. This is what excites me the most.
It's a place you don't
want to
be.
Yeah.
All right, so here was my method. I decided on my my A block winner, my B block winner, and my A block runner-up and my B block runner-up right off the bat.
Okay.
And what I did was I tallied their points first.
Okay.
And I went through, you know, each of the nights, and I picked out the losses that they were going to be getting. You know, the A block winner, runner-up, B block winner, runner-up. I tallied their losses, and I picked their losses first.
Okay.
And
That's not bad.
And then I started from the very top and worked my way down. So, you know, kind of a interesting approach, I guess. I know, you know, traditionally people work their way backwards in this, but that's what I did. I picked the you know, the four main guys' losses first and then started from the top. So there you go.
That's, Colin, that's very similar to the way I did it. I picked
wow.
the winner. Yeah, I picked the winner. Picked the
so you picked Shibata.
What?
You picked Shibata.
I picked Yano. to win it all, and then win from there. No, I picked the winner, and then you know, kind of, you know, I didn't think anybody was going to go undefeated, so I picked the winner. You know, kind of decided upon, okay, so where are they losing? Well, you know, picked the winner, picked the runner ups, and then decided how that was going to play out. And I also used the last three nights as a gauge of where things were going to fall and how things were going to play out. Because I think those last shows before the final show, you know, those matches are telling, right? Those matches need to play a part in this entire G1. So I took the lineup into account to kind of help tell that story of how I see this tournament working out. So no, it's similar to what we did. I just maybe used the shows as somewhat of a gauge, and I guess that's where I overthought everything, like the shows themselves, the audience, where they were, what was headlining, what, you know, who needed wins, that kind of thing.
See, so, I thought about that after I hit submit. I thought about, oh, God, I should have looked at the venue. I should have looked at the city. But I even went so far as to try and, you know, find everybody's wins and losses from last year.
Mm.
You know, and kind of, you know, compare and contrast, but
right, okay. But see, that's not a bad idea. I was thinking about who's champion, who do I see challenging later on? Because if and when they lose, you gotta figure, okay, they're getting a match. So yeah, kind of use that as. There's a lot of things. I took a good, I want to say, hour and a half. I was laboring over it again. Probably thought about it too much, but yeah, okay, yeah, that's good. I wanted to get to see where your head was. All right, so where are we? We're on the 24th, are we?
No, we are still on the 23rd. You're jumping ahead of us.
My bad. Okay, so you have Tenzan getting the win over Tama Tonga,
yep,
right?
Tenzan going on a little bit of an early roll there. The okay. second match, Marufuji versus Bad Luck Fale. Boy, I'm looking at my prediction for this one, and I'm once again, this is going to be a reoccurring theme in this bracket and in this contest. I'm already feeling the regret because I picked Bad Luck Fale.
Okay, wow.
I'm not sure what my logic was there, but I picked him.
Listen, there's nothing to say that that Marufuji won't lose this match. To me, I mean, again, we talked about Fale being a guy who's going to pick up big wins, and he's a guy that's credible. He can pick up wins over names. In this particular instance, I have Marufuji winning, right? I think Marufuji needed a point, right? He needed a win. Fale already had a win. I think Marufuji gets the win here to even things up a little bit. And again, also thinking about as we go through these shows, I didn't want anybody to kind of get to branch out too far ahead, right? I kind of wanted to keep things a little bit even. So yeah, I went Marufuji here.
All right. I mean, you're at the end of the day, you're probably going to be right.
Again, my logic doesn't mean it's their logic, right? They could be completely opposite and still get to the same fucking path, right? That's what makes this fun. That's what makes this contest and talking about this contest to me interesting. Because again, you know, it's people see, even though we watch the same matches and we watch the same shows and we still have personal biases and we still have things that kind of influence our picks in some way. So it's just an interesting conversation. It's the one time of the year that you actually can sit down and do this and have fun with it. So anyway, to answer the question, yeah, I went Marufuji. And again, the reasoning is I kind of wanted to even things up. Fale already had a win. Marufuji gets two. Fale stays at two. Okay, good.
All right, the third match of the evening, and the match that I'm probably looking forward to the most here, because this is kind of my wheelhouse, Tomohiro Ishii versus Hirooki Goto. I'm going Ishii on this one.
I'm going Goto.
You're going Goto, all right.
I'm going Goto. Now, here's the thing that troubled me, though. If I did go Goto after this show, Ishii would be zero. No points.
You'd no points for Ralph. Two.
No Ralph points. Goto, I felt like, needed a win. He needed the two. I don't think anybody's looking at Ishii being in the finals, but I think Goto needed to get a win here, and that's why I went that route. This block, this A block on the 23rd, and even I think the next one, the B block, it is kind of more about balancing out my picks. Goto with the win here. But again, the only thing that troubled me if at the end of the night in Block A, when it's all said and done, would be the only two people that would not have points would be Tama Tonga and Ishii. And the Ishii one troubled me. But, you know, you got to do what you got to do. I went Goto here.
All right, the next match of the night is Kazuchika Okada versus Seiya Sanada. Now, before I tell you who I picked for this one, let me give you my thought process here. Yep. Now, as we know, at Dominion this past June, it was not a very good night for Los Ingobernables de Japón. And I kind of went into the G1 Climax 26 as like the revenge of the Ingobernables. So that is why I'm giving Sanada a win over Mr. Okada here. Because Okada and Sanada had a match not too long ago. Okada came out victorious in that match. And I know, it's 50-50, but yeah, I'm going the 50-50 booking route here for this one. I'm giving it to Sanada.
I went Sanada too, and again, I think the reason being is, and again, it goes back to that point of the champions that lose. Can I see them, the person who beats them, challenging? And I see that with Sanada. He would make a perfect guy to kind of fill the gap between now and come autumn and the winter months, and specifically the Dome show. He's that perfect guy to kind of still have Los Ingobernables in the mix, right? A great worker, going to have a great matches with Okada. I think this match will set the table for that. And yeah, so Sanada getting the win, maybe with shenanigans, maybe without shenanigans, who knows? Yeah, I kind of earmarked this as Okada getting a loss, and again, he's not going to suffer many of them, but I think this one made the most sense to me to have Sanada take the win. So Sonata gets the win. He would have 4 points in this bracket, in the A block. And the two people that at this point that are leading that bracket, that block A for me, is Sonata. And again, this is as of the end of the 23rd. Sonata, Tenzan. I think that's exactly what we wanted early in this tournament, right?
Right.
Yep. So I have Sonata 4, Tenzan 4, and the only two people who don't have points, Ralph and Tamatanga.
Now, I have a very important question for you. We know that we're not going to get any seductive sacks during this tournament, but
no.
How much mist are we going to get during this tournament? I'm praying very little. I'm going to say, as a matter of fact, that this is going to be a shenaniganless victory for Sonata.
I think, unfortunately, I hope you're right, but I think we'll see some shenanigan.
So some mist.
I can't necessarily say missed, but I think something's going to happen. Something's going to happen. I don't know. I hate to be that guy, but I think you're going to see some bullshit happen here. I hope not, but I think you'll see bullshit.
All right, the main event for the 23rd, an interesting choice of a main event in my opinion, Hiroshi Tanahashi versus Togi Makabe. Now, this is probably, you know, I said it was an interesting choice of a main event. You know, for our Japanese listeners, it's probably not. I know that, you know, S-Bach, you know, one of our followers on Twitter, probably is not surprised by that in the slightest. Personally, I would have put Ishii versus Goto in the main event, but, you know, again, you know, Western eyes here, but I digress. Damon, do you see Togi Makabe defeating Tanahashi in this match?
Well, let me address your first point first. I don't think Ishii and Goto have the name recognition.
Right, they don't have the house popping ability.
No, I mean, no. Could they possibly have the best match of the night? Yep, absolutely. I think Okada and Sonata second. Do I think Makabe wins? I don't. I wouldn't be surprised if he does. But for me, Tanahashi gets the win. I felt like he needed the win more than Makabe because, you know, just let's kind of even things out a little bit. Makabe got the win for night one. Tanahashi needed the win. To me, Tanahashi is the logical choice to kind of set things straight and even things out a little bit. No, I went Tanahashi to win this one.
Yep, same. I've got Tanahashi, you know, with this victory, he will have 4 points in total. And yeah, I agree with you. I think that Ishii and Goto are probably going to steal the show. Okada and Sonata could, you know, be a show stealer as well. But one thing's for certain, I think it's safe to say this will probably be Togi Makabe's best match of the year.
Who else would he have? Well, he has an Ishii match, right?
He does have an Ishii match.
He's got an Okada match in this tournament. He's got a Goto match in this tournament. I mean, look, going against Tanahashi doesn't help. But here's the thing. I think his style lends more toward an Ishii opponent and a Goto opponent, even
Correct.
Though it feels like we've seen these matches a trillion times. I don't know. I think if we're circling two matches to be the show stealer, I like the Goto, Ishii, Okada, Sonata to take that crown.
All right, moving on here to Sunday, July 24th, another show at Korakuen Hall. Once again, this one taking place live on NJPWWorld.com at 5:30 a.m. Eastern Time. We've got a B-block show here, and let's start off with the first match of the evening. Wait a second.
Well, that's – do you know who that is?
Yes, the first match of the evening is Toru Yano versus Kenny Omega.
Okay.
Damon, I have this as Omega's first loss of the tournament, actually.
I do, too. I have Toru Yano getting the win. I wouldn't be surprised if it's a quick ado. I wouldn't be surprised if it's shenanigan-filled. I wouldn't be surprised if it's just that, you know, 3 minutes of craziness. But yeah, I have Yano picking up the win here as well. He needed a win. I felt like this would be a good spot for it. Yano gets the win.
Yeah, and you know, when I went through the B block, and I was thinking to myself, you know, okay, since I have Kenny Omega being the B block runner up, who do I see him losing to in this tournament? And for some reason, and maybe it's that comedy dynamic that I think we're going to see in this match, undoubtedly, I think that it just makes sense. It would make sense to see him lose to Yano, you know, in some sort of, you know, ball shot roll up finish.
Yeah. What did you say Yano finished that? Did we talk about Yano?
Yeah, we did talk about Yano. And
6 points I had Yano.
I gave Yano 8 points in this tournament.
Man.
This is a good tournament for Yano.
You really think the ball shots are going to be heavy and plenty.
Yep. heavy nut shots.
Heavy nut shots. Yeah, no, I went. I don't have that many. But I do have him picking up the win here. Yes.
All right, the next match, we have Michael Elgin versus Tetsuya Naito. And once again, you know, as I picked my overall winner for this tournament, I have it as Tetsuya Naito. I was thinking, well, who do I see him defending that G1 briefcase against? And logically, to me, Michael Elgin makes sense. So I gave Big Mike a big win here over Tetsuya Naito.
Wow. Okay. So I don't see it as that wasn't my logic behind Michael Elgin getting a win. And I do have Michael Elgin getting a win over Naito here as well, but not for the same reasons. I wasn't thinking briefcase, to be honest with you. I was thinking champion. I was thinking, you know, pecking order. And I was thinking, do I think that Elgin takes the fall here? And I something in my gut said no. I don't see him falling here. The biggest problem I had so far, though, is that that would make Naito 0-2, or yeah, 0-2. He would have 0 points going in, leaving the second night of that block, of the B block. That kind of disturbed me a little bit. That kind of left me a little bit like, okay. Yeah, but I had him at 0 points at the end of this, at the end of two nights of block B. I don't know how he felt about that, but it's submitted. I have Michael Elgin getting the win.
Could you see, though, you know, if indeed Naito is your G1 Climax champion, I could see him defending that briefcase against Big Mike.
Okay, Mike's got to lose that belt, though. We wouldn't waste him having that belt and a briefcase defense in one match, right? You would want to kind of keep that separate, right?
I don't.
So Mike would have to lose that belt.
I see. I don't necessarily think that you know, he has to lose the IC title before he challenges for the briefcase. I don't see why he would have to do that.
I'm going to tell you why. Because he has the belt, so he can headline a show. He can, you know, again. He could be on the same show and defend it against somebody else and make that show that much stronger. You're wasting his value as the Intercontinental Champion on a briefcase defense that you know he's going to lose, right? So not only are you devaluing him, you're devaluing the title, you're devaluing a lot of situations, as opposed to have Michael Elgin defend the briefcase against Michael Elgin defend the belt against whomever. That's one match. And Naito defending the briefcase against somebody, that's another match, right?
That is good logic, but at the same time, you know, I think that's a pretty big marquee match. You know, your IC champion versus your G1 Climax champion.
Okay, fine. Okay, but again, to me, that's wasting that, because you know Michael Elgin's going to have to lose.
Right, but what if you have him lose with a lot of shenanigans so as not to, you know, devalue the title?
Okay, you can do that, but I'm going to tell you I don't like doing that.
I don't like doing that either, but it could happen.
Then don't do it. then don't do it.
They do a lot, right, of things that I don't necessarily agree with.
Right. I don't like the idea of that. No, I don't. So that might spill the beans, so to speak, to let you know that maybe Naito is not winning my final. Right. Maybe Naito is not winning my thing.
I know who's winning your thing. I know.
Do you? Do you know?
I do.
Do you?
100%.
Really? Yeah, 100%?
Yeah, and it's for selfish reasons, I might add. Like everything else that you do.
You don't know me.
Oh, I know you.
You don't know me.
I know you, Damon McDonald.
You don't know me. You don't know me.
I guarantee right. I know who it is. Anyway.
I got Michael Elgin. I got Michael Elgin winning this match. That's what I'll tell you right now.
Okay, so do I. So do I. So we're on the same page here, two in a row. We've got Toru Yano over Omega and Michael Elgin over Naito. Okay.
Yes. Okay. All right. What's next?
All right, third match here. We've got Yuji Nagata versus Evil. And I gave this one to Yuji Nagata just because I thought, what the hell? Why not? Why not give him a win over... He can beat Evil.
What do you have Evil at?
I have Evil. Let's go
down
to...
At the end of the day, when it's all said and done, when the tournament's done.
Yep, let's go down to Mr. Evil. I have him at a strong 8.
Okay, we're in the same boat. I had him at 10. So he got one more win than I gave him one more win than you. Do I have him beating Yuji Nagata? Yes, I do. Actually, I have Evil with the win here. So that helps him with getting some points. Again, at the end of the day, I guess we'll continue on. But I have we'll just give Evil the 2 points and move on from there. Okay. I think it's a big win, too, for Evil, too.
Yeah, that would be a big win for Evil. You're right. But, you know, I could see it going either way. I could see Nagata defeating him.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, sometimes the minutiae of these individual match doesn't really necessarily mean as, you know, at the end of the day. Here's the thing. At the end of the day, I think our point totals are roughly the same. We'll get there. All right, so next up, next match.
All right, next up is Tomoaki Honma versus Yoshihashi. Now, as you know, I already told you, I gave Honma 2 points throughout this entire tournament, and he already got his big win against Katsuyori Shibata, so I have Yoshihashi going over Honma. So pretty much any Honma match in the rest of this tournament, I have him losing.
You know what I was thinking before? Like, I was like, oh. Because they usually have one. They have one match that's a no contest, right? A count out, a double count
out.
They
didn't do it last year.
I thought they did.
No.
They didn't have one? I thought they did.
You know what? I could be wrong. I've been wrong plenty of times before, but I do not remember. I have a pretty good memory. I don't remember there being any draws or count outs last year.
Why do I think it was something involving Shibata?
It could have been, but I just don't remember that.
Because it got over the 10 count. I will have to go back and double check, but I'm almost certain there was some shit. So in my mind, I'm thinking this would be the perfect match, right? Two guys who obviously have trouble getting wins, right? Literally just stalled in the middle. Neither of them can get an advantage over the other, and it's a double count out or something similar to that. Wasn't it Yano and Takahashi? Am I thinking? Why do I think that there was one match? Somebody's yelling at their radio right now.
It like, sounds like it could have been the match if there was
something.
One like that.
It was a fucking word. You know, they both got 1 point, but I didn't go that route. I did go with Yoshihashi getting the win. Where's this show at again on the 24th?
This show on the 24th is live from Korakuen Hall.
That's a spot to do that in, right? Get Yoshihashi the big win.
Yep, that's why I'm going Yoshihashi.
That's exactly why I went with Yoshihashi. Okay, good. We're on the same page there. All right, and then our main event, right?
All right, our main event for the evening here at Korakuen Hall for this July 24th show, a match that has many fans salivating. And
me included.
Katsuyori Shibata versus Katsuhiko Nakajima.
Well, look, I'm going to ask that everyone circle this on their calendar. This match... I'm guaranteeing this match is going to have people's pants down. If you're not a fan, you will be after this match. And I think this is a perfect dance partner in Shibata. I'm excited for this one. This match really has my juices flowing. Korakuen Hall, main event, big time spotlight. Two guys that work a very, I can't say very similar style, but they're very similar. You're in for a treat. You're in for a treat for this match. I did go Shibata here to pick up the win.
See, we went opposite routes here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I gave Nakajima the win here because, you know, I thought I was thinking of interesting opponents for Shibata down the road that he could possibly defend that NEVER title against. Mm-hmm. And I think that his match against Nakajima is something that a lot of people are going to be clamoring to see again because, you know, as you alluded to, I have high hopes for this one. This is one to circle on your calendar. And I thought, hey, what if we gave Nakajima the win here and he could be a prospective challenger for that NEVER title sometime down the road?
I would love that, and I like your train of thought. The only problem is that I don't know what the status is. I don't know if he's just in for this, and this is a test run or a tryout to see how it goes. I don't know. So I went with the idea of the New Japan guy going over the Noah guy. That was my thought process, even though, again, we know the relationship of Noah and New Japan at this point. Even with that said, I still didn't know how that was going to be working when it came to Nakajima. So I was a little hesitant getting him a big win in a big spot, Corkin Hall. I figured I'd go with the safe bet, the New Japan guy getting the win over the Noah guy. That was kind of my thought process.
Yeah, and that's a logical thought process. But, you know, once again, you know, when I do these pick'em contests, even though it's not always to my benefit, I do like to have a little fun with them, you know, just as I did last year when I had my AJ Nakamura finale at Sumo Hall that didn't happen. But, you know, we saw a pretty awesome match at the Dome that I gave 4.25 stars, as you may remember.
4.25 is my fucking favorite. You know, we're coming up on a year anniversary, Colin.
Yeah, we were talking about this before we started recording, and this is actually pretty interesting. So next Sunday is going to be our 50th episode, if you can believe that. And the date for next Sunday is July 24th. And as fate would have it, our very first episode, the very first episode of the New Japan PuroCast was July 24th, 2015. So it will literally be a year to the date that we've been doing this show. Damon, can you believe it?
I'm gonna give him my gimmick now. It literally will be. I say literally a lot in all the most inappropriate spots.
This is appropriate, though.
This is appropriate. So anyway, my point being is that might be that 4.25 might be my favorite moment from our year history. I wish somebody would make a mashup. Maybe I'll pay somebody. I might pay somebody some money. Maybe we need to talk to somebody.
I'll throw in a few clams,
a few shekels, to do it like a montage or a history of or a best of. That has to be a defining fucking moment in the show of you going on a rambling 4.25, and I'm just shaking my head like, is this guy out of his mind? And you kept saying, the match just was missing something. It was just missing something. I'm thinking, holy fuck balls. I mean, that's just significant, missing something. I was like, I don't know where you're going. And then, did I say 4.25? I meant 4.75. Oh, fucking, how great was that? One of the greatest moments ever of the show. All right. Yeah.
Well, what can I say? The math system here in northeastern PA, you know, isn't really that great. So
it is a struggle. It is a struggle for the public school systems in Pennsylvania. So, what a moment! That was so great. All right. So that takes care of what? Where are we? This is gonna be a 4-hour show.
Actually, I was just about to pause us there for a second, because I was just thinking, if we actually went up to, you know, August 14th, it would be ridiculously long. So what do you think of this? What do you this takes us up to Sunday the 24th. What if we then resumed next Sunday and then did the following week?
Love it. Yeah, I think that's a good idea. An on-air production meeting going on right now. Well,
of course, it'll be edited out.
But no, don't edit it. Leave it in. I think it makes it more organic, Colin. It gives the people a look behind the curtain.
A peek behind the curtain.
Because literally, our conversations last just about that long. They're not even conversations. It's a text message. What are we going to talk about this week? And then Colin goes, bah, 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 bah. And I'm like, all right, we'll talk about that. Okay, yeah, so let's leave it at that. Do we want to give our predictions of who's winning and our finals, or Do we want to do that now, or do we want to hold off on that? We got to do it now.
Yeah. I already told you, so I'll repeat myself again. I have for the final at Sumo Hall on August 14th.
Right.
I have Hiroshi Tanahashi, the A block winner, versus the B block winner, Tetsuya Naito, with Naito being your G1 Climax 2016 champion.
Wow. Okay. Well, here's what I got. I have the A block winner, Hiroshi Tanahashi.
Mm-hmm.
He defeats I think I just had a stroke there. Defeats Okada, who is the runner-up. The B block winner I have is Naito. The runner-up I have is Kenny Omega. So last night, the Naito-Omega match on that last night, that's going to mean something. To me, that means something. The Tanahashi-Okada match, that means something. So when they lock horns, both those guys, Tanahashi, Okada, Naito, Omega, they're going to be close. They're going to be like tied, I have, going into those matches. So the winners of those matches go on. That's how I have this tournament being locked out. And we can talk about the – go ahead.
Guess what? That is exactly how I had it kind of booked as well. We just have opposite G1 champions.
That's what I'm saying. Again, Tanahashi, Naito winning their respective blocks. And yes, Colin Miller, I do have Hiroshi Tanahashi.
I knew it. I told you I knew it. And
the G1 tournament.
Again, this is all, admit that this is for selfish reasons, because everybody knows that you are going to Wrestle Kingdom 11 and you can't wait to see that Okada versus Tanahashi match again. You can't wait for it. Admit it. You want to see it live.
I do, but listen.
I can't wait until Naito crushes your dreams. I can't wait.
No dreams will be crushed, because I'll be happy either way. But I really, in my heart of hearts, in my gut, which is significant, is there's no Naito and Okada cannot fill the dome. I just don't see it.
You have six more months left in the... Well, at this point you don't, but you know, you still have a significant portion of the rest of the year to, you know, make this match a dome-worthy main event, and I think they can do it.
I don't think they can. And again, I'm not saying they have to fill the fucking dome, you know, standing super no vacancy, standing room only.
50,000 strong.
I mean, I don't think they can do that. And I'm not asking either match to be able to do that, because it ain't going to happen. But I think the sweet spot is in and around high 30s, 40s, right? That's where we need to be, right? High 30s, low 40s. That's the sweet spot. We go below those numbers, it's a disappointment, right? If we go above those numbers, holy fuck.
Well, we went below this numbers, below that number for Wrestle Kingdom 10. I think it was 25.
Yeah, I mean, I think whatever the paper number is.
And Wrestle Kingdom 9 was 36.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, you know, that's a significant, loss there.
Again, in and around that frame, you know, I think is where we need to be. Colin, you know for a fact, you know what Tanahashi and Okada can draw, right?
Based I do.
Off of 2 years of those matches, headlining the Dome. We know what buzz there is for Naito Okada, right? We've seen it. Evasion Attack, Dominion, right? We've seen these matches. Again, I go back to the point where people weren't wrapped around the buildings waiting to get in for that match. They couldn't, it wasn't super no vacancy for those buildings. They're smaller than the dome and the setup for the dome. I just don't think they can do it. Again, I know you say 6 months we have, but 6 months isn't that, I don't know, to gain interest in a match, to get you to that sweet spot of, you know, high 30s. I don't see it. But I think Okada and Tanahashi is the only fucking matchup you have that can do that.
Again, again, their Wrestle Kingdom trilogy that they have now, it's perfect the way it is. And having them do it again for the fourth time, that's like Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. Did we really need that? No. It was fine the way it was.
Look, I know people watch wrestling for different reasons, right? And I know people watch this product specifically for different reasons. You can't. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't give a fuck about a story arc. I care about matches.
See, maybe this is because I come from a film background that I'm thinking like this. I mean, to me, their last match, that was their last crusade. That was it. They don't need a Crystal Skull.
Right, but to me,
they don't need a Phantom Menace.
Okay. If you want to have great matches now and forevermore, I'm all in. That's what it's really all about.
What more could they even? I mean, obviously it's going to be a great match. I mean, anytime these two guys step in the ring, I mean, I'm sure this G1 Climax match is going to be, you know, who knows? This could be better than their dome match if that is at all possible. You know, I'm not debating the fact that, you know, these guys aren't going to have a, you know, fabulous 4¾, 5-star match together. Of course they can. They have amazing chemistry. But I'm, you know, starting to think, man, what else could they do? They've done it all.
But here's another thing, Colin. And again, this is not let's put Colin Miller on the spot. But name me another fucking great story arc that you know about in New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Well, I mean, they're few and far between.
Well, I mean, I don't even know if they're few and far between, but the issue is that, you know, it's to me.
I'm talking about currently. They're, you know,
right. But my point being is that story arc is always still and always will be at the end of the fucking day about that belt. That's what makes this promotion so great. That's why I've watched it forever. That's what drew me to it was the fact that. I don't have the story arc, shmory arc. I don't give a. It's about the belt and the champion and winning that belt and
yes, storytelling.
No.
Yeah, no. I'm sorry. I think a large part of pro wrestling is about storytelling.
But the simplest story to be told in pro wrestling, Colin, is this guy is challenging this guy. Now, again. I'm not shitting on story, and you know I go back to, you know, the old versus new, the Ricky Choshu and Inoki stuff, like in the 80s, and Maeda being in the new and Fuji, all that. I mean, yes, that's a story. I get that. At the end of the day, it really is the most basic, common, fundamental thing of pro wrestling that drew me to New Japan was it's not story
wrestling
in the sense in this. Yeah, it really is the wrestling and the story being this guy versus that guy for that belt. That's really the crux of it. And I'm not into this fucking, you know, how much did he pay for the plastic surgery bullshit, you know, referee bullshit or just crazy story. Like, it's never really been that for me. And again, I think that's what draws me to New Japan as a whole. It really is.
But whose side is he on?
How much did he pay for the plastic surgery? Yeah, that's never really appealed to me. It's never really appealed to me. And again, I know people are going to say, well, what about this storyline in New Japan? And what about that? And yes, you do need a storyline, because if you don't have a storyline, you're looking at fucking MMA. And that does nothing for me. Watching a bunch of guys roll around in a goddamn ring, you know, UWF, like that UWF I and UW, that was, to me, that put me to sleep. That did nothing for me. So yes, I don't want to make it seem like I don't give a shit about the theatrics of pro wrestling. Right. I get that. To me, this guy versus that guy is more important than anything else. So, here's the thing. I don't see that storyline that you're clamping your jaws onto being enough to headline the dome. I just don't see it.
Okay, I mean, that's a fair point, but like I said, I still think that there is enough time left in the year to build to that story of Naito, you know, finally getting his main event spot. I mean, the story wrote itself, you know, that main event spot, you know, that Naito earned when he won the 2013 G1 Climax, it was robbed away from him by Tanahashi, really, by Tanahashi. You know, the fans voted for that Nakamura-Tanahashi match. So, you know, it was taken away from him by Tanahashi, and this is his chance.
Nakamura. Not Nakamura had nothing to do with it.
Well, Nakamura did have something to do with it. Okay. But Nakamura, as we know, is elsewhere. You know, he's in Orlando somewhere.
On the beach where we all should be. Look, I'm not saying...
This is his chance to get revenge on Tanahashi and prove that he is the guy, Naito's the guy now, and he has earned his main event spot at Wrestle Kingdom 11 at the Tokyo Dome, and he's going to go, and he's going to have that Dome rematch against Okada, and Naito, you know, he just, story-wise, he has too much to prove here. And I, you know, and Los Ingobernables, think about how hot they are right now. And
ain't that hot?
Well, I look around in the audience, and I see a lot more Los Ingobernables merchandise than I do Bullet Club merchandise, actually, at this point.
Colin, at the end of the day, is how many asses are in the seats? And a bunch of wrestling you know, fans that are going to be there anyway wearing Los Ingobernables t-shirts doesn't mean shit all to me. Well, how many people are going to be in the seats? That's what it boils down to. I don't want to sit here and repeat myself 1,000 times, but that's why I have Tanahashi winning this G1, to be back-to-back winner, because to me, in my mind's eye, and quite frankly, a proven commodity is Okada and Tanahashi. It's a proven... Do you know how many times they've wrestled in a singles match, Colin?
Tanahashi and Okada? I'm going to say 7.
Yeah, because I said 7 on the tweet, you prick.
No, I knew that.
But that's my point. 7 fucking times, and everybody's all sick of it? Everybody's like,
no,
oh,
no, no. It has nothing to do with that. You see, here's my thing. I don't like too much of a good thing.
I don't get that.
To me,
why?
It kind of spoiled. Well, here, I would like to pose the question to our listeners, actually. You know, hit us up on Twitter or Facebook. Do you think that the Okada Tanahashi Wrestle Kingdom trilogy, as I like to call it, is perfect as it is? Or do we need that match number 4? Do we need that Kingdom of the Crystal Skull? Do we need that Phantom Menace? I know I'm using all these movie analogies here.
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
To me, well, how about this one? How about an American, you know, Western analogy? Do we need Austin versus Rock 4 at WrestleMania?
If that's what brings the people to the fucking arena, yeah. I mean, look. That's really it. That's really it. I don't see Naito and Okada being the money match. I just don't. Now, to me, we sit here and go back and forth on this. To me, that's a problem, though. That's a problem.
If that is indeed the fact.
Right. I mean, that's worrisome to me. The fact that I'm not confident enough in a Naito Okada match doing well at the Dome. That's troublesome. Because the fact that I'm sitting here and telling you that I think Tanahashi wins this because I think Okada and Tanahashi is really the only money match that New Japan has, that's where you should be hanging your hat of what the fuck, because this promotion has done, I don't know, maybe not a bang up job with Los Ingobernables. Maybe they haven't done and I say that because it's more of a groundswell kind of thing with Los Ingobernables, right? It's more of, you know, people latching on to them and making them what they are, kind of, you know, I don't want to give you a shitty Daniel Bryan analogy, but it's
I love Daniel
like,
Bryan analogies.
I know you do.
They're my favorite.
they're the only analogies you have in life. But you know what I mean? It's like it's more of a groundswell kind of thing than the promotion doing a great job of. Well, I say that, but I might want to take that back. They gave him the fucking belt.
So it's a grassroots movement. Is that where you were going?
I mean, look, the troubling thing is, and again, I think the thing that you need to kind of focus that anger on of me saying Tanahashi and Okada is not the story arc and not that. It's the fact that a guy like me is not confident enough in a Naito Okada main event at the Tokyo Dome at Wrestle Kingdom. That's the challenge this promotion is up against. That's the issue. At the end of the day, I don't think that they have done a good enough job to get me to think that people are going to be interested in that main event. That's really the bottom line.
All right, that's where we differ, my friend. That's where we differ.
All right, that's fine. I'm exhausted.
I'm exhausted too, because I actually felt the rage when I pictured in my mind Tanahashi getting his hand raised again at this G1 climax.
And again, please let's also put this into perspective here. I don't know Dick all, right? I'm saying this was my pick, and this is where I feel this is going. I could be dead wrong, and this conversation could be looked pretty silly, in a few weeks. With that said, as I sit here right now, I think what we're looking at is a two-time Tanahashi back-to-back.
Here's another question to consider, though. Did you read Tanahashi's last comment that he made about his arm?
No.
He said that...
The 60%?
Yeah, 60%. Oh.
Okay, that's him being a pro wrestler. Who knows I'm sure he's. Who knows? I mean,
he's beat up. That's for sure.
He's always beat up, though. I mean, I don't put any stock into that. He's doing an interview as a pro wrestler. I'm worried about that. That arm could be 80%. It could be 20%. He could be bullshitting us all and saying 60. Who knows? He's Tanahashi. He'll be fine for the G1. I'm not worried. I'm really, honestly, going into the tournament, I'm not worried about the arm at all. Either he's going to go or he's not going to go. That's his mentality. It's not going to me, I don't think it's going to affect the match quality. I'm going into it thinking we're going to have great matches. And if he couldn't deliver that, he wouldn't be in it.
And at the end of the day, I think that is the one thing we do agree on, regardless of, who wins this tournament and what your Wrestle Kingdom 11 main event is. It's going to be a great professional wrestling match, which at the end of the day is why we're all in this, right?
There you go. That's exactly what I'm saying. Exactly. I'm curious, though. I know my opinion and my picks are probably very unpopular. And it's I would say the majority of the people here are and listening are adamant Naito supporters. And again, I'm not shitting on Naito. I've grown to enjoy him much more than in the beginning of this. And if you listen back on past shows, I wasn't all in on Naito. I had no problem with him winning the belt. I think him winning the title was the right move. I think New Japan was on top of it right then and there. Look, but I'm not confident in that main event. I think I said it 1,000 times. I don't need to repeat myself. You know how I feel.
All right. Well, I think that about wraps up today's edition of the New Japan Purocast.
Oh, I wanted to make one point. Oh, we're wrapping up already.
I was about to wrap this up in a small package, if you will. But go ahead, Damon.
All right, let me just make one point here, unfortunately, we're running out of time. But listen, if in fact you haven't already, that classic Japanese wrestling board, Colin, you're familiar with that, right?
I am.
You
indeed.
Know what I'm talking. You are, and what they're doing is just a fucking amazing job, and they are putting up a lot of New Japan stuff that's not available on New Japan World. One of those fucking shows, man. I think it was 88. I want to say 88, 80. It was one of my favorite fucking matches of all times. It's that the Riki Choshu's New Leaders, the Choshu Maeda, Fujinami, Kengo Kimura's in that, and Super Strong Machine. And this is I'm fucking rattling off the top of my head. Again, it was against Inoki's now leaders. So it was Inoki, Sakaguchi, Hoshino. I never really liked him. He looks like he's a guy that, like, I don't know. I like him and I don't like him. I just, something weird about his legs. Like, he has like midget legs. Fujiwara, Muda. So it's an 8-man tag. It's just fucking great. You talk about crowd heat and you talk about energy in a building. Man, that fucking crowd goes batshit crazy for Maeda and Choshu. And when Maeda dumps out Inoki, you know how they have in the elimination rules, a pinfall submission, or you can toss him over the top rope. And Maeda sacrificing himself for his team against Inoki. And, you know, they did a spot, it was like a head scissor, right? So Inoki gets a head scissor on a flying head scissor on Maeda. And Maeda kind of tumbles back toward the ropes. And just the collective gasp that is let out of this crowd, knowing that, holy shit, Maeda is going to take one for the team and toss out Inoki, who was the star at the time. Just fucking magic. Guys, if you haven't watched this match, this is a classic match that I don't believe is available on the network. Sign up for the Japanese classic board. Just do me a favor. He has one rule. Make sure you read that pinned post. No fucking WWE talk. If you start talking, he has zero tolerance for that shit.
He's a Nazi when it comes to that stuff.
He really is. He'll fucking, you're gone. You're booted. Done. You'll never know what hit you.
Even if it's about Nakamura and NXT, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. He doesn't exist. And that's what makes the group so good, because here's the thing. It doesn't get littered down with rambles and like I do. And it's very focused. It's well moderated. And any group that's not moderated well turns into fucking chaos. So, one, make sure you check out that match. I wish you had more time to just talk about that fucking match. Colin, you got to watch this match. I urge everyone to watch this match. It's fucking great. It's on. Subscribe to the Classic Japanese. It'll tell you where to go to find the match. It's just so good. Watch that. And then I was watching the Super Junior League. It was the Junior Tag Tournament before the Junior Tag Tournament that we know today. Oh, and some of the teams are like Shinjiro Otani and Chris Benoit, Great Sasuke and Black Tiger, Eddie Guerrero War Team. What else was it? Fucking Scorpio, Too Cold Scorpio, and El Samurai. Oh, what a great fucking 2 hours of pro wrestling. That Dean Malenko, who was he tagging with? Malenko and I forget. But check that out. That's on there as well. So again, sign up, follow the fucking rule. I wish we could spend more time on this, but it's G1 season. That's all I got to get in. Sign up, make that happen, and have fun and follow the rules. And so much good pro wrestling on there.
And by the way, if you are lazy like me and you don't feel like watching these matches at your computer or connecting your computer to your TV, if you are a Roku user, there is actually an app. Now, you do have to pay for it. I think it's about $3.99, but it's called Roxbox. It's Roxbox. Just Google it. And this will actually allow you to stream that Real Hero archive, you know, from your Roku through that app directly to your TV. So there's no, you know, hooking up HDMI cables from your laptop to your TV, no video casting, none of that BS. You just load up the app on the Roku and you can stream right from that Google Drive. So I think that's pretty cool if you're a Roku user.
Yeah, it's very convenient. And again, they have more than just classic New Japan on there. They have it all. So, you know, your All Japans, your Big Japans, all that fun stuff is all on there. So make sure you get in on that. There was another point I wanted to make, but I can't remember what it is. Oh, yeah, the Ring of Honor show last night.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Real quick, Jay White looked really strong. Jay White had a match with Jay Briscoe. Singles match, one-on-one, where they did a spoilers. So if you don't want to know the spoilers, I'm going to give you spoilers. So they did like a time limit kind of thing where Jay White was knocked silly and went the time limit draw, but it was a real fun match, real good match, real interesting finish, and I think it's helping make Jay White, a real solid star in Ring of Honor, did a great job. Kama Itachi was on the show as well. Looked good. Not great. Looked good. Certainly wasn't Cork and Hall material, but fine nonetheless. So, yeah, there was good stuff there. So look for that on your Ring of Honor TV. Jay White looking strong and Kama Itachi on there as well. So good stuff there. All right, I'm done.
Anything else, Damon? Are you sure?
Yeah, no. I'm fucking good. I'm tired.
All righty. There we go. So we want to thank all of our great listeners once again, you know, for those of us who have been there with us from the very beginning, the very first show, to all the new folks we have coming on board. Thank you guys so much for all of your support. Remember, check us out on newjapanpurocast.com. You can listen to each and every show directly on there. We've got links to Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, Stitcher, the whole bit. And of course, you can also listen to us on the great Voices of Wrestling podcasting network. So we're going to be back here same time next Sunday, which is going to be episode number 50. And that will be the 1 year anniversary of the New Japan Purocast. And
unbelievable.
I know it is unbelievable, truly. And we're going to be talking about all of the G1 shows that happened during the week, as well as the Super J Cup. And we are going to continue doing our Voices of Wrestling Pick'em picks for the shows from the 25th going to the 31st.
Yeah. So again, we let the finals out of the bag, but hey, we're exhausted. You know, it'd be a fucking 9-hour show if we did this. So we'll pick it up. You know, we'll see how we do for this week. We'll pick it up next week and kind of compare notes and laugh at our picks. And, you know, we're dopes. What do we know?
Yep, that is our agenda for next week, ladies and gentlemen. But until then, enjoy all of the great pro wrestling that we are going to be seeing this week. We've got some great matches. And for those of you who are new to the G1 Climax, trust me, this is you are going to have a lot of fun. So on that note, for Damon McDonald, my name is Colin Miller. Enjoy, and we'll catch you guys next week right here on the New Japan Eurocast. See ya.